Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Can I get an aw yeah? Aw
yeah! Aw yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from all across the English-speaking universe, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, or even
encouraging
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're on the bus, stuck in traffic, scaling the Great Wall of China, or even
patting yourself on the back.
Oh yeah. I'm joined here in the Cross Atlantic studio by the man who, when he was turned 18, his parents moved out, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah. What is going on, Ethan? Good to be here, Mr. V.
Not too much. How are your parents doing with the transition to independence?
They're doing pretty well. You see, in the United States, independence is very important, so even our parents move out when we go into high school.
Why is that funny? Or why is that different than what would be considered normal in the United States?
Well, in the United States, normally the child is expected to move out when they graduate from high school or college. Although that's sort of changing nowadays, I think, but definitely we're more independent than other countries.
Yeah. It's not like in, I don't know, for example, here in Europe or in Brazil, for example, it seems like most people will live with their parents even until they're in a very serious relationship or they get married or maybe they get a really good job. They can afford to move out. I think in the US, it's just much more a part of our culture that once we go to college, we're out of the house.
Out of the house. Out of the house, Ethan? Can you explain that?
Yeah. So there's the American T there and some linking. So because you have out ends in T, and then you have of, which is a function word, it gets reduced. So you have out of the house. That T is between two vowel sounds, and it turns into an American T, which sounds like a D.
You actually said outa. Outa. The V-E turned into an uh.
Okay.
Yeah?
Out of the house.
It's very often said with the of, for example. Oftentimes, we don't say Game of Thrones. We say Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Or I might say get out of here.
Get out of here.
Tell me the truth.
Yeah. One of those things. One of those.
One of those.
Anyway, this is some awesome connected speech, and this is, we're all about this. But today, we're going to talk about something else. What are we talking about, Ethan?
Today, we're talking all about how to find people in your life who can support your English learning. So this basically came out of one of my own students' problems, because she is very passionate about learning English, but her family doesn't support her learning. They don't really understand why she's learning English, why she dedicates so much time to learning English. And so we kind of had this idea, because a lot of people seem to have this issue that they can't find people who really support their learning.
Yeah, this is a very important topic. I think maybe you feel this way about other things too. I definitely feel this way about being an entrepreneur. Do you feel that way, Ethan?
Yeah, I think that if you don't have the right supportive community, you can feel like you're really out stranded on an island in some ways.
Stranded?
Stranded means that you have no way of escaping. You can think of the stereotypical picture of like a man sitting under a palm tree on a tiny island all by himself. Sometimes when you're like learning a language or you're doing an endeavor like starting your own business, if you don't have those people around you that are kind of doing the same thing, that know what you're going through, or at least they're kind of like championing your cause, they understand why you're doing it, then it can feel really difficult to find the motivation to continue doing it, especially when it gets difficult, which it undoubtedly will.
Champion your cause, Ethan?
To champion someone's cause means that they might not be doing the same thing that you're doing, but they fully support what you're doing. They fully support the reasons for why you're doing it.
Yeah, and I definitely feel like this, another thing about language learning is kind of like that global perspective. A lot of times, talk to people about, you know, what it looks like, what the world looks like from that global perspective. If you travel and you start meeting people from other cultures, and then you try to tell people back home what that's like, if the people haven't seen that, if they haven't traveled, if they haven't experienced that, they might have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. We did a podcast on reverse culture shock, which is kind of like something that can happen when you go back home after studying abroad or living abroad, and no one understands kind of what the experience you had. But anyway, maybe we are getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Before we fully roll into this topic, let's start out with a kick-ass quote for a little bit of motivation and to help lay the groundwork for this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we have one from Jim Rohn. He has a lot of pretty terrific ideas and quotes. He's one of the original kind of gurus of self-development. What does that mean?
A guru is like a spiritual leader, somebody who's enlightened, and we look to that person as an example.
Exactly. So he says, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." So what does Mr. Rohn mean by that, J-Man?
That we tend to adapt the habits and the characteristics of the people that we spend a lot of time with. So it's really important to just think about the people that you spend time with. And because if you think about it, as we go through life, we're always going forward or backward. It's important to find people who support your forward growth.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say the problem is so much going backwards. A lot of times it's just plateauing, kind of staying in the same spot. And I think most people, you know, they finish college and they get into like a stable job and they're climbing the corporate ladder. And they just kind of get contented with their life how it is. They're not really motivated to continue learning, to continue growing. And if that's kind of your group of friends, maybe that you've had since your childhood are like that, then it's really hard for you to be the one who says like, I'm really motivated. I'm really going to, you know, learn a lot. I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to take up a new sport. I'm going to become a great runner or swimmer or whatever kind of things that you want to do in life. Sometimes you even need to find new people who kind of support those new habits or those new skills that you're wanting to build.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, for example, in English learning, I've seen people who will spend a lot of time on a course, and so they'll be surrounded by people supporting their learning, but it's sort of an artificial mechanism that they're paying for, and they never really build that organically into their life. So then they graduate from the English course. Maybe they're at a pretty okay level at that point, but they lose all that support. They lose that that context that was really supporting their learning, so they can't really continue unless they want to keep paying to attend that school.
Yeah, especially because you get to that point, like we were saying, where you kind of, at the beginning, it's very easy, or like you can learn a lot with kind of a minimal effort. But then eventually, a lot of times when you go through one of these courses, you kind of get to this point where in order to grow more, you would have to invest a lot of focus, a lot of deliberate practice. And if you don't have the people around you who support you to do that, then it's very easy to just compromise with staying at a mediocre level.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree more. It's so important to find people support you. And this is really going to help accelerate your process and make it a lifelong, really beneficial process.
Definitely. We are just about to fully jump into this topic. We're already giving you a lot of sneak peeks about what we're going to talk about. Let's give a shout out to someone who was kind enough to take the time out of their busy schedule to support this podcast and give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, this was another one that really made me smile. These 5-star reviews, they're amazing to receive and just read your nice words. And it also helps us a lot to put these on iTunes. It helps spread the word. It helps more people listen to it, our audience to grow. And this is actually from, I don't know how to pronounce this, but from Zitesti from the United States. And he titled it Amazing, Incredible, Phenomenal, Extraordinary. Wow. Amazing title. He says, "I could go on and no words can explain how remarkable improvement this podcast has brought me in my English. Way to go, guys. Keep it up," from Ethiopia. Oh, yeah. That's such a nice, really heartwarming testimonial that we really appreciate.
Yeah, for sure. And like Justin was saying, if you give us a 5-star review, it not only helps more people learn with this podcast, just like you are, but, you know, we might just give you a shout out in a future podcast. So go on to the show notes of this podcast, and there are instructions on there of exactly how you can do that. It just takes a few minutes, and we would thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So the show notes of this podcast will be at reallifeglobal.com/support. SUPPORT. So that said, let's roll on in to, well, fully dive into today's topic all about finding people to support you. So maybe the best way to breach this topic might be to ask a question of why do you actually need other people? Why is it not enough just to learn on your own?
Wait, breach, Ethan, or broach?
Which one is it?
I think it's broach.
Okay.
What's the difference between breach and broach, Mr. V?
I thought breach is like to penetrate something.
It's true. But I think in the collocation, maybe I'm wrong, we should Google this, but broach, we often use to broach a topic, to broach an issue, for example.
Yeah, we'll have to look it up and share it in the show notes. So if you want to know for sure if it's breach or broach a topic, you can go to the show notes.
And this might be the one time where I got you, Mr. V. I got you.
What if you didn't, though?
Then you got me.
We're going to settle this argument in the show notes. Anyway, broaching or breaching or penetrating the topic of why do you need other people?
So we need other people for many reasons. But first of all, we need people to encourage us, to really help us through maybe those low points in our journey. They help pat us on the back. I mentioned this at the beginning. I said to pat yourself on the back. So when you pat yourself on the back, you can pat somebody else on the back. It means that you... What does pat mean, Mr. V?
Pat is like to lightly hit something or lightly tap something. So it's kind of... You might think like you see this a lot of times in sports. Maybe if someone does a good job, their teammates might kind of lightly hit their back. And we will also say this, like, pat yourself on the back is like you should be proud of yourself. You made an accomplishment.
Yeah, you need that support from yourself, from other people as well. Why else do we need other people in our process, Ethan?
So I think you can have all different sorts of support. So, you know, you might have, for example, just people in your family who say like, oh, it's great that you want to learn something. Maybe family or friends who aren't learning English themselves, but they see why you're learning. And I know not all of us have this. Some people's families are like, I don't really understand why you would want to learn English if you can't use it in our country. But you probably have your own reasons, and we'll talk more about that. But you could also have, you know, other people who are your fellow English learners. They're your peers. They're people who they fully understand what you're doing because they're also doing it. And so you can kind of like learn together. You can share things that have worked, things that haven't worked. You can practice together. And that's really important as well. And then you can also have different types of people, either people that you know or people that you just look up to who maybe are at a higher level than you. So this could be like a teacher who actually gives you classes or a coach. Or this could also be, you know, maybe someone who teaches on YouTube or, you know, like us with this podcast. It's someone who you can kind of look up to as a role model, even though maybe you haven't met us in person. So you have those kind of different levels of people who support your learning. And they're all very important. It's very important to find all of them and create kind of an ecosystem of learning of all these different types of people who support your learning.
Yeah. Another thing I would add to that is, as well as people that you're helping, because you're not... I mean, it's great to be, you know, the one with the worst English in the room, right? For example, if you're surrounded by people who speak better than you, then you're constantly learning, right?
Particularly if they're patient.
Yeah. But at the same time, you want to be helping people as well. I think it's great to help people. You're going to be learning and teaching. And really, I think there's that, what is it, Bloom's taxonomy of learning. They talk about the different levels. And I don't remember exactly all the different levels, but the final level is being able to teach and really embody what you're learning, to represent that. And teaching that really, really makes it concrete and permanent.
Yeah. I mean, often teaching something is the best way of actually learning it or actually testing that you have fully understood that concept. So even if you're a lower intermediate learner, there's probably something you can teach a beginner learner. And there's a lot of value in that because it kind of shows that you have actually mastered that concept. So, and I think it's really interesting in English as well, because I was saying kind of your peers. And well, not just with English, learning any language, it's really interesting because the actual utility of this is speaking with people. So it could be on one hand, you have maybe your peers who are fellow English learners. And then on the other hand, they could be people who are your friends who are native speakers or very advanced speakers of the language you're learning. So I think that you get very different benefits out of each with those. And we've talked about that in some other podcasts and different articles on Real Life Global. But you know, I think definitely for me, one of the biggest motivators that I find is actually being able to speak with my friends, whether they're non-natives or they're native speakers, because it's a constant reminder of like why I'm learning the language. It's to actually be able to communicate. And that's something you find with learning a language that you wouldn't necessarily have in learning other skills.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting if you think about like learning English and that global perspective. Again, to really have a perspective or a belief system, you need people to share that with. You need people to talk about that way, then you need people to like see that same thing. Because when you believe something together, it's almost like a church. in some sense. If people are together in that same place thinking about that same thing, and it becomes a lot more real when you can share that. So that's definitely really important. The way I think about English, or I think what you're talking about as well, Ethan, you know, your global community of friends and all these different languages. But in English, if you have your global community, your global network of English-speaking friends, then it's like your English becomes real. It's a very embodied, permanent part of your life that you're not going to lose when you stop going to your classes or when you stop studying in a formal sense.
Yeah, it becomes kind of like also just a fuel for your motivation. So that constantly keeps on, it's almost like a cycle, like it just keeps on remotivating you over and over again to continue on the really difficult path that is learning another language, that is learning English.
Yeah, and I would add there that it just sort of overflows into your life as well. And so because you get to that point where you speak English, it just becomes like normal, right? Yeah, I speak English. You don't think about it as like learning English anymore. You just think about it as living. You just think about it as, yeah, I travel. Yeah, I meet people from around the world. Yeah, I read in English. Yeah, I watch TV and like listen to radio and podcasts in English. That's my life. That's who I am. So it's sort of this expanding reality that doesn't really stop.
Definitely. So moving on to the next part of like support, or maybe this is actually even the root of it, is kind of just having that self-reliance, like being able to support yourself.
Yeah, I would say a lot of times I think you could be kind of needy in your English learning. What does needy mean, Ethan?
Needy means that you have a high necessity of other people's help or their approval or anything like that. Like you see, this is very commonly used for like, you know, if someone is pursuing a boyfriend or a girlfriend, for example, and if they're very needy, a lot of times that repels the opposite sex. That's a connotation where you might hear this used in real life. And in this case, it's also very good because, for example, a lot of people will contact me just saying like, hey, will you help me with my English? And it's like, I don't know you, not offering anything in exchange for my help, or, you know, you're not even trying to be friends with me. You're just purely trying to get something out of me for free. It's repelling for like native speakers or repelling for anyone if you're just looking for help without kind of offering anything in return, be that friendship, be that conversation, be that also like an exchange, like helping them learn your language. So you kind of need to come at it with your own investment of some sort, right?
Yeah, your own investment. And I would say there's a direct correlation as well. It's like because you can benefit from other English learners who are more advanced than you to the degree which you can give value and make other people feel comfortable with you. If you're a nice person, or if you're just interesting, if you're interested, genuinely interested in another person, if you're genuinely agreeable and just a good person, in some sense, develop a relationship, a true, authentic relationship with other people.
Yeah, I would say come at it definitely with just more of a sense of generosity of like, you know, what can I offer to this other person? And coming at it also just from a point of view of like, I can make a friend in another country. We can exchange cultures. We can learn about each other and, you know, kind of share different interesting things about each other's lives. And there's a lot more value in that than just like, hey, help me with my English.
I think a really great quote that I like kind of alludes to this is, stop trying to be so interesting and be interested. Why don't you unpack that, Ethan?
So it's basically, instead of trying to make other people like other people or be interested in other people. So I think it's kind of similar to the idea that you have two ears and one mouth, use them proportionately, which is a similar quote that I like, that you should listen twice as much as you speak. Everyone wants to talk a lot. Everyone wants to be heard and to be understood and for people to be interested in them. So, you know, if you're the one who's proactive enough to go and say, hey, I'm just going to listen to this person a lot and generally be interested in who they are and where they come from, then a lot of people are going to like you a lot and they're going to be very willing to speak to you.
Yeah. And I think part of that is like just asking good questions, showing that you're listening, showing that you're just fascinated and curious about this person. About, this is a completely other different topic, but it's definitely worth mentioning here.
Definitely something we have to do for another podcast episode. So if you are like just on your own right now, Justin, what are some things that they could do? They live in a small village somewhere and they don't have any peers or they don't have any teachers or anyone necessarily to practice with right now. What is something they can do in the meantime?
Well, I'd say to start off with, just fortify your own determination, like your own desire to learn, your own vision, your own discipline. If you're listening to this podcast, this is a great place to be. So just fortifying your own determination and self-reliance, because this is going to really push you through. From there, I would just say get support from the people around you, or try explaining why you're learning. It's important to you. You know, you can get support from your family, maybe they won't support you. That's okay at the same time. But there are lots of places where you can look to find that support. Where would that be, Ethan?
I think for one, like with your family or your friends, if they're not really supporting you and you do want them to support you, like that you want them to understand why you're learning English, then maybe you haven't actually clarified why you're learning English enough to yourself, which we talked a lot about in episode 151 when we were talking about the real life way, our methodology for English learning. But, you know, you might need to take some time on yourself, just 15 minutes to reflect on why am I learning English? And then if you want people to support you, share that, share with them why you're learning, you know, what's your big purpose for this? How are you going to use this once you're fluent or, you know, even already? You don't have to wait till you're fluent. But, you know, if you kind of have that why of wanting to be a global citizen, of wanting to be able to connect with people from all different backgrounds, all different cultures, all different religions, and, you know, really be a cross-cultural communicator, that can be a pretty powerful reason for learning that other people can kind of champion, you know, that your family will be like, oh, okay, maybe they'll understand better why you're learning. And if not, at least they'll be like, okay, well, I guess the important thing is that you're passionate about it. You know, passion is usually pretty contagious. So I'd say first cultivating your own passion. Next, I think is definitely finding your peers. So if you are the person who lives in a small town and, you know, maybe beyond people in your English class, or you don't have anyone around you who's also learning, who you can vibe with.
What does vibe mean?
Vibe means that you kind of relate to them, that you can kind of share different ideas and you can kind of get along with, agree with. So I think it's important to have people like this. We might call it a mastermind. What's a mastermind, Justin?
Well, mastermind, I think it's a term that was coined, which means like created, by Napoleon Hill in the book. There's a book called Think and Grow Rich, which it's a pretty cool book, pretty interesting book. It's kind of self-helpy.
What does self-helpy mean?
Self-help has kind of a bad reputation about books that aren't so substantial. They don't have so much like real scientific content, right? But I think this book is good, inspiring. It was written in like early 1900s. Anyway, it just means this mastermind is like your group of people who have the same goal as you. So you meet, support each other, hold each other accountable. What does that mean, Mr. V?
Hold each other accountable means that you actually make sure people are responsible to what they say they're going to do. So if Justin has a goal and he asks me to hold him accountable, so say he says he wants to learn to play guitar, then I'm going to, every time we talk, I'm going to say, hey, how's your guitar playing going? Have you been practicing every day? And I'm going to kind of check in with him. So that can be extremely valuable for learning a language. If you, you know, whether it's a teacher, a coach, or, you know, just a friend who will actually check in with you and actually make sure that you're doing what you said you're going to do.
Yeah, and there actually is a lot of scientific evidence about that. But if you hold yourself accountable with the people around you, if you announce publicly that you're going to do something, then you're afraid of the negative consequences of you not doing it because you have to face your own shame. So it's much more difficult for you to stop doing that thing if you publicly claim that you were going to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, you could even post on Facebook or something if you wanted. We talked about 30-day challenges in some of the past podcasts, that this can be a really good way to say, I'm going to do something for 30 days. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to give someone money, or I'm going to give money to a charity, or, you know, there's a lot of different things that you can come up with for something you really don't want to do to make sure you will do this thing every day. And you also have like the public of it, that you don't want to go through the shame of saying like, oh, I failed. So that can be very valuable. So this is talking about finding people, peers, people are the same level with you. If you don't have like a teacher or a coach, or you can't afford a teacher or a coach right now, then there's a lot of ways that you can find your fellow English learners online. One way to do this is with the Fluency Circle. What is the Fluency Circle, Justin?
The Fluency Circle is our global community of English learning all-stars that are studying with us through our courses, through Fluent with Friends course.
What other kind of people can you find to kind of support you in your learning, Justin?
I would say search people online, search people for like language meetups in your city, people in your English class, for example, you know, other learners that you know. You can create a WhatsApp group. That's a really great way. I think like bigger groups, it's a lot harder a lot of times to make that personal connection. But with smaller groups, you can find that support you need. So just talking to people about that as a goal, that will really help.
For sure. So I think that about wraps up today's podcast. I think we talked about a lot of things today that we're going to dig into a lot more deeply in future episodes, and that we've talked about a lot also in past episodes. So if you want to go back, for example, and listen to, for example, podcast 154 and 155, we talked about some different ways that you can meet people online, which can be some really great advice for you to find your peer group, to find your mastermind. So definitely go and check out those. And, you know, feel free to drop us a line by commenting on the show notes of this page at reallifeglobal.com/support. So we will see you very soon. Have a kick-ass rest of your day wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, one last thing I want to talk about before we finish today's podcast is an update about Real Life Global. And so Real Life Global, for those of you who have been listening for a while, who have been part of our community for a while, you know that we launched a few years ago an online English-speaking platform that connected people through randomized video chat for 3 minutes or 6 minutes at a time. And so we had 20,000 learners on this platform, and it was an amazing success over about a six-month period. And we took it down to rebuild it, and it's been kind of a while. We haven't executed so quickly on building the next version of this, but we are currently moving into the testing phase pretty soon. And this is definitely something that can offer you a lot of support. So in what way do you think the Real Life Global platform can help people with their support, Ethan?
Well, I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking all about, finding peers. And we're wanting to create really the first ever global community of English learners. It's an opportunity for you to find people from every corner of the world to, you know, exchange cultures, to share ideas about learning English, to talk about different big questions that might come up just relating to, you know, talking to people across different cultures. So this is basically the place for you to find these peers.
Yeah, and this is something we're going to explore more and more. This is something that definitely we can think more about and engineer into the actual website, but you're going to see lots of really great stuff on this, and you're going to have the opportunity to go online, press a button, and meet other people, make new friends, build your network, your global constellation of friends from all around the world that give you the ability to think from that global perspective, and they give you the ability to start really living your life as a global citizen.
Oh, yeah. So that said, I think we can kind of wrap up this podcast. If you really liked these ideas, or if you want to give us a shout, you can do that on the show notes of this page, which will be at reallifeglobal.com/support.
And you at home, feel free to accompany us on this. You count down, Ethan?
1, 2, 3.
Aww.